This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we are joined by Mr. Brady Lane, Mr. Frank Knapp, is that correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
And your wife?
Chris Knapp.
Slash building partner slash competing pilot.
And don't forget, fabric worker
aficionado, yes, extraordinaire. Now, I understand you guys never, ever look at the airport facility directory for runway length. And why is that?
Well, we can land between them.
Well, what's that? What's the old joke? Boy, this is the shortest runway I've ever landed on, but it's the widest. So you won the Valdez competition?
Yes, sir. We won in 2013 and then come back in 14. Did the same thing.
And this is just something you guys started doing for fun? I mean, I imagine as a bush pilot up there, it's kind of necessary to be able to get in and out of tight spaces.
Well, yeah, and most of the airplanes up there will do that to some degree. This one is just kind of on steroids.
Yeah, it's like insane.
It's over the top, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Was this airplane purposely designed and built just for this competition, or do you fly this as on a regular basis for other duties?
Well, you know, I always thought I did a good job if I got 50 to 100 hours in a year flying, and the first year we had this thing built, I put 470 hours on it. So I guess
I could have a very understanding wife.
Yeah, well, that too. Yeah, she helps pay for the fuel, right?
But, yeah.
But it's incredibly fun to just be in the air now. Yeah, and not go anywhere necessarily, but
just hover.
Yeah, that too.
Look for a small field to land in. Hey, honey, let's try this place.
Yeah. Let's see if we can outrun that guy in the wheelchair.
Well, you know, we'll play up on the Kinnick River, and one of the more fun things to do is catch a non-suspecting four-wheeler and kind of park above the tree line that he's going to go through and let him pass you while you're basically hovering up there.
Oh, it's a lot of strange looks, huh?
Oh, yes, sir.
Wow. That's an incredible story. Now, you said this airplane's on steroids, so what exactly have you done to this airplane to give it this incredible capability, besides put a rocket engine in it?
Well, you know, really, it's all about weight versus horsepower, and this is grandfather's technology. It doesn't have nitrous, it doesn't have a lot of the, it does have high compression pistons, it's polished port, balanced, you know, all of the little tricks. It's got a little fancier cam in it and stuff, but it's an C-85, and we're out there dragon slaying the, 200 horse plus 100 horses of nitrous, you know, that kind of thing. It's just weight versus horse.
So you leave half the airplane behind, and then it flies a lot better.
Yes, sir. Yeah. We leave every component that isn't necessary behind.
Wow.
How thin is the tubing on this airplane? Yeah. I mean, can you hold it up to the light and see through it? It's that thin?
Well, some of the tubing is probably about that way, you know. The fuselage actually started out in 1939 J3. We've modified it extensively, but
it sounds like they filed half of it away.
Well, we drove a lot of lightning holes and everything that was flat, I'll tell you that.
And you've been doing this how long?
Well, we've only been in the competitive thing for 2 years.
Well, now there's an interesting sidebar behind this too. The first airplane that you entered with, you had a small difficulty with it. You had the hangar fire?
Yeah.
December 17th, we had a hangar fire. It took the hangar, obviously, and three aircraft, 170 with a 172 with 180 horse in it, J3 that we went on our honeymoon in, and pretty sentimental.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Little Cub. So, it was an awful day, to say the least, but we came back and started the middle of January, rebuilding Little Cub, and April 17th, we cranked the engine over for the first time. So 3 months.
That's motivation.
Yeah,
you must
some long days.
So she didn't mind the engine being scattered over the dining room table.
Well, it pretty well was literally living it for 3 months, that's for sure.
I believe that.
You must have been working around the clock on this thing.
It was long hours, really long.
Here, honey, put down the drill, have a sandwich. You need
food.
Well,
she got pretty darn good at sandblasting in amongst all of this. I
there
don't
you
know.
Go. She can pick up some TIG welding while she's here.
Yeah, maybe so.
I'm hoping so, actually.
I was going to say, if she learns to TIG weld, watch out. You're going to have in-house competition here. She's going to build her own airplane.
I think that's actually on the slate. You kind of end up creating a monster out of this. We were in the middle of the second build, and she decided that... if I'm going to build these things, I probably ought to learn to fly them. So before we left for
watching you do all the fun stuff.
Well, she soloed before we came down.
So. Okay, right. Good. Good yeah. for you.
You know, the thing I would be worried about, though, is if she beats you in the short
landing. That's exactly what's going to happen.
That's coming. There's no doubt.
Listen, I'm going to clue you in on one of the speed secrets there that nobody talks about. Helium. Put it everywhere you can.
I don't know if it was his plane, but one of them has a helium fill port on it.
It's ours.
It's a little bit of a joke, but yeah.
Until the I'm sure you've caught people looking behind it, though, to see if there really is a connection.
Yeah, they've asked.
Well, you know what? We've been talking about short landings and everything. What is the distance, the shortest distance you've ever landed this airplane?
Up the Kinnick River Valley, we get some glacial winds in the afternoon, 20 mile an hour wind. So, up there I've had a couple foot landings,
Foot?
Yeah.
And you could use the airplane again?
Yeah, but remember, it's capable of slowing down to about 20, so.
Okay. Yeah.
So you could literally hover it to a landing then?
I've often dreamt that I've told Brady this, the neatest YouTube would be if you could just pull up to the line, take off, and then hover backwards, and then come back to the line, But we haven't had that time out just right yet.
You just need to come into Jersey when they've got a hurricane blowing in.
Yeah. Well, we should kind of mention that. You go with an excessively light, build like this, and it definitely has some limitations, and you got to talk to yourself all the time about that.
Yeah, you don't want to be flying in heavy, gusty wind, do you?
No, it's an imaginary line, and you really, you've got to kind of treat it gently.
Yeah, you don't want to cross that with an airplane that light. It would not be a fun ride at all.
Yes, sir.
Now, would you consider most of the flying up there hazardous? I mean, it's you're out in the middle of nowhere. Your weather changes on a dime.
After being down here for a while, I'm looking forward to being back to the weather that I kind of understand. This stuff sneaks up on you. I've never heard of a vertical microburst, for example, and,
Did you see the funnel clouds?
We had two
funnel clouds go by, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That was weird.
Nasty stuff.
Yeah. Wait, the other side of the coin is wait 15 minutes and it's gone. Yeah. It's over in the next state already.
Yeah, they used to say that about some of the Alaska weather too. But it's in many ways I enjoy the Alaska weather better than I do this down here. We don't have the extreme. Well, we do. We have a lot of wind, but and
cold.
It's a bit more predictable, I think.
That's interesting. I would have not thought of that. Up there, though, when you get a snowstorm coming in, you take it seriously.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
You ever have any trouble with the local wildlife when you're getting your airplane in and out of the hangar?
I've had more wildlife down here. The deers are all over out here at Wild Rose, and they are dumb. Most of the guys have a horn on their rig. I've never seen that before either.
Well, we have the same issue in Pennsylvania. People say, well, what do you hunt them with, a bow, gun? I said, I just line them up on the hood ornament.
It's a popular sport, SUV deer hunting. Everybody does it.
Yes.
Well, we've got to learn some of the local...
The local customs, yeah.
Customs.
Oh, boy.
Well, we'll be happy to indoctrinate you on this. That's for sure. You did all the fabric work on the airplane?
Yes, I did. Yes.
That means it has lace and doilies?
No, it doesn't, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Maybe.
The next one.
The next one, yeah. It's the Oratex fabric that we used. And it's, over the years, he's redone a few airplanes. And it was always stick the, and it was in our house garage. And you'd stick the rags by the door so you wouldn't get all that smell coming in and stuff. And it was like, I never wanted any part of it. It's like, you're fabricing, I'm going away. And this time he said, come on, come help me fabric. And I said, yeah, right, I'll come help you, sure. And I did it, and it's easy, it's fast, and
And he's created a monster.
He has, unfortunately.
Well, we've enjoyed talking with you guys, and you're going to do the short landing takeoff thing again this week?
Well, we should be competing on Wednesday for the finals, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Sweet. Yeah.
We'll be out there to definitely see that. Okay. Again, thanks for joining us. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And you're listening to EAA Radio.